Good morning. Welcome to Morning Manna, April the 23rd, 2017. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this blessed day. We thank you for all that you continue to give us day by day. We recognize our need of you. We recognize that we must be instructed by you in order to be successful at what we do. As we begin this day, we ask that you would continue to be with us. We ask also that you would guide us in our instruction where our children are concerned, so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we continue to take a look at the gift of redemption and freedom that God has given to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. And we are going to be taking a look at Exodus chapter 15. Now, in our last session, we took a look at this, and we also saw the fact that they had come to a place in the wilderness where there was no water. But we will begin there today, Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Now if you recall, we stopped here at our last session, and we want you to understand that this was not an accidental thing here. We talked at length about the fact that there is something called a three-day dry fast where there is no water taken in. And we talked about how good this is because it detoxes the body. And we gave you some websites that you could look at to validate that point of view. Now, if you don't have access to our last session, you may go to our website and go to our Morning Manna and look for April the 22nd. That would be April the 22nd Morning Manna delivery, and you will get some of the information that we dealt with in our last session there. So here they are in the wilderness. There is no water. They come to this place. It has bitter water. And but as I said before, this cannot be accidental because God had brought them out of Egypt, freeing them from all of the circumstances that surrounded them. And now he was going to begin a cleansing, a serious cleansing of their bodies, getting rid of all of the toxins out of them. And what is even more important is as we go forward, we will see that God had prepared a special kind of meal. And of course, you already know where that meal came from. So let's look at verse 24, Exodus chapter 15 and verse 24. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And then verse 27 says, "And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." So notice what God has done here. First, he freed them out of Egypt, set them free from the circumstances that surrounded them. Then he brings them into a place of cleansing, a cleansing of dry cleansing, that is, so that they could get rid of the toxins, get rid of all of the things that were in them that needed not be there. And at the same time, test them to see if they would continue to trust in him the way that they needed to trust in him. Remember that as we dealt with the plagues that were poured out upon Egypt had two reasons. One, a demonstration to the Egyptians that he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Second, to restore the faith of the children of Israel who had been in Egypt for a long time, but who needed to begin to trust their God again. Now he brings them out. And of course, we talked about the Red Sea. We talked about the fact that he showed them that his power was indeed greater than any other power. Now he is going to cleanse them on the inside with a 3-day dry fast. And then he promises them an important promise he makes here. If they will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord and to do right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 293 and paragraph 1 says this: the history of the wilderness life of Israel was chronicled for the benefit of the Israel of God to the close of time. Let me read that sentence again for you. The history of the wilderness life of Israel was chronicled for the benefit of the Israel of God to the close of time. The record of God's dealings with the wanderers of the desert in all their marchings to and fro, in their exposure to hunger, thirst, and weariness, and in the striking manifestations of his power for their belief, is fraught with warning and instruction for his people in all ages. Now that includes us. Certainly does point to us. Continuing, the varied experience of the Hebrews was a school of preparation for their promised home in Canaan. God would have his people in these days review with a humble heart and teachable spirit the trials through which ancient Israel passed, that they may be instructed in their preparation for the heavenly Canaan. Many look back at the Israelites and marvel at their unbelief and murmuring, feeling that they themselves would not have been so ungrateful. But when their faith is tested, even by little trials, they manifest no more faith or patience than did ancient Israel. When brought into strait places, they murmur at the process by which God has chosen to purify them. Though their present needs are supplied, many are unwilling to trust God for the future, and they are in constant anxiety lest poverty shall come upon them and their children shall be left to suffer. Some are always anticipating evil or magnifying the difficulties that really exist, so that their eyes are blinded to the many blessings which demand their gratitude. The obstacles they encounter, instead of leading them to seek help from God, the only source of strength, separates them from him because they are awakened by the unrest and the repining. Now that's what happens to us all the time. And when we look at the Israelites, we think they are so ungrateful and so unbelieving and so impatient. But when we're tested, when our lives are brought through the obstacles and the trials, we react the same way. And quite often, or reaction is worst. Page 294, paragraph 1, Patriarchs and Prophets says this: do we well to be thus unbelieving? Why should we be ungrateful and distrustful? Jesus is our friend. All heaven is interested in our welfare, and our anxiety and fear grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We should not indulge in a solicitude that only frets and wears us, but does not help us to bear trials. No place should be given to that distrust of God which leads us to make a preparation against future want the chief purpose of life, as though our happiness consisted in these earthly things. It is not the will of God that his people should be weighed down with care. But our Lord does not tell us that there are no dangers in our path. He does not propose to take his people out of the world of sin and evil, but he points us to a never-failing refuge. He invites the weary and the care-laden, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lay off the yoke of anxiety and worldly care that you have placed on your own neck, and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. And of course, you know that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. We may find rest and peace in God, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. But you know, when you go back and you look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, we read that text and we think, well, that's just hyperbole. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And then, as we shall see as we go further, he repeats this same promise in the book of Deuteronomy. If you take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first verse says, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And then verse 15, here comes that warning. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, then he gets very specific in verses 27 and 28. And this is Deuteronomy 28, 27 and 28. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the hemorrhoids, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now you notice that when you're looking at it in Deuteronomy, it gets specific. This is not a general statement, as so often we seem to think when we're talking about Exodus. But God is being very specific. Let's take a look at some of the discoveries that have been made about the diseases in Egypt. On the Science News website, which was published December 19th, 2009, the article reveals, it says, mummies reveal heart disease plagued ancient Egyptians. So they've gone back and taken a look at some of the embalmed mummies, and they've taken a hard look in examination of them and discovered that heart disease was one of the problems that faced the people of Egypt. And then on the MedGuru website, February the 28th, 2010, makes this statement: ancient Egyptian priests' rich diet linked them to arterial disease. Now, these are diseases with which we are very familiar. The About.com website on July the 8th, 2009 says, the world's oldest documented case of cancer hails from ancient Egypt in 1500 BC. Then there is Discovery News, December the 3rd, 2019, says the following: worn teeth, periodontal disease, abscesses and cavities tormented the ancient Egyptians, according to the first systematic review of all studies performed on Egyptian mummies in the past 30 years. And then there's the Smithsonian, a website, which says the following: the average lifespan of an ancient Egyptian was about 40 years. So childhood ended at puberty, and young Egyptians quickly learned their roles in society. And here's one that is very, very compelling. It says gout was known, that's gout, G-O-U-T, was known among the Egyptians as podagra, or foot pain, as early as 2640 BC, and was described by Hippocrates in the 5th century BC as the unwalkable disease, mostly affecting the rich. Talk about the diseases that have been placed on the Egyptians. They're all familiar, aren't they? Let me give you one more. The All Academic website, the All Academic Research website, says analysis of ancient medical papyri in conjunction with ancient depictions and mummy autopsy data suggests that STDs did exist in ancient Egypt. Genital herpes is the most likely diagnosis. Human papilloma virus is now well recognized as the cause of cervical cancer. There is reasonable evidence to indicate its existence in ancient Egypt, too. All of a sudden, that text in Exodus chapter 15 is not just hyperbole anymore, is it? I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. So the diseases that we confront today in our society are diseases that the Egyptians confronted. And the children of Israel passing through the wilderness, not only did their shoes not wear out, or their clothes not deteriorate, but they didn't have any of these diseases and more that we just discussed. Why is that? Because God had promised to take care of them as he promises to take care of us. The promises that God makes, he is always able and willing to keep. The circumstances that surround us and confront us in so many cases are there to make us stronger, to help us to develop strength and faith in God. So today, as you go forward, as you think of diseases that were found in Egypt, you do not have to think too far. All around you, all around us, we are confronted by the same diseases. God has promised that if we do what he says, and if we follow his statutes, he will protect, he will heal, he will preserve, he will take us forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you always keep the promises that you make. As we begin our day to day, let us go forward with faith, knowing that you can and will do what you say you will do. We're grateful for all that you continue to do for us. We are especially grateful for the leadership that you provide so that we might walk according to your will. Today, as we walk and we encounter the obstacles and the trials and the tests, we ask that you would give us strength and courage and patience so that we will walk with you steadfastly and be delivered by you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, April the 23rd, 2017.